Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday morning, September the 15th in 2020 on Winter Eyes. We're in year A, proper week 20, which is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. And on Tuesdays, we like to look at a text for the week in the book of Psalms. And so we're going to be back in the book of Psalms, chapter 105, verses 1 through 6 and 37 through 45. This is one of the features of this section of the year A of the Revised Common Lectionary is that we go back to this great historical psalm, Psalm 105, and we read this opening paragraph and then go to one of the episodes of the people of Israel in their history. And so as we're thinking about God giving manna and God providing for them in the wilderness, that theme comes up again in verses 37 through 45. So I'm going to read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, then we'll spend some time praying along the theme that comes from the text. So thanks for making this part of your morning and when I rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6 and 37 through 45. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of his wonderful acts. Glory in his name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has pronounced, you his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He brought out Israel, laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left, because dread of Israel had fallen on them. He spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them a quail. He fed them well in the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed it out. It flowed like a river in the desert. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God for us. I think it was Mark Twain that once famously said that history doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes. I thought that was a cool way to look at it because we do see patterns in history. We do see a bit of a repetition, but maybe the repetition is not verbatim, but it's in the spirit of something. And that seems to be what's going on for the reason that Psalm 105 would have been written. This is a psalm, once again, telling of the history of Israel, at least the early history of Israel, the way that God led them to Egypt and he led them out of Egypt and he provided a safe place for them. And this type of song is meant to cause an emotion and it's also meant to cause a faith. That emotion is praise. We see again and again, praise the Lord. It starts with praising the Lord and it ends with praising of the Lord. And it also is supposed to stoke a faithfulness because what it shows is that God has been faithful to us, therefore let us be faithful to God. And what we see here is an interesting picture into a songwriter's observation and reflection of what it must have been like for the people of Israel to be led out of Egypt. And you'll notice in the very first stanza it says, he brought out Israel laden with gold and silver. From among them, their tribes, no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left because dread of Israel had fallen on them. And so we have this pointing back to what Egypt has pointed against Israel. They've made them slaves for over 400 years without paying them. And they've heaped up harsh labor upon them again and again. When Pharaoh was threatened with the words of Moses, he added more work to them. And so here we have a great reversal that all those wages that seem to be held back from the people of Egypt for all their work, that people of Israel from all their work in Egypt, God lays it upon them all at once. And instead of taking advantage of the people of Israel, dread of Israel fell upon the Egyptian people. And we see in verses 39 and following how God provides for them in the wilderness. We read about this yesterday in our passage from Exodus. How when the people complained, that complaint was a provision, a result of that complaint was a provision from God. Now, the Bible's not sanctioning that we should complain to God, but it does show how God does provide. And if you remember the lesson from yesterday, is that sometimes God doesn't provide for us in the verbatim way that we ask or expect. But oftentimes, the blessing that God gives us needs like an instruction booklet, like some sort of a reasoning, some sort of a wise sage to come alongside of us and to help us sort out what this unique provision of God might be. And so this is what's going on with the people of Israel as they're going through the wilderness. A book that the kids and I read, that our family reads, which has a good, you know, comprehensive storyline of the Bible. Talks about how this time in the wilderness was an education season for the people of Israel. They were God's chosen people. They were the people of Abraham, but they hadn't been worshiping regularly. They hadn't been given instruction from their law. And so they were wondering, you can imagine that now that they're freed from tyranny in Egypt, that there is this vacuum now of their self-identity. Who are we and what does it mean and what are we supposed to do? And so the wilderness was a school of sorts. It taught them the provision that God gives them. It taught them the commands that God requires of them. But it also taught them that God can be trusted. Imagine all those years in Egypt. You heard the stories, these murmurs of what God has done for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What he did with Joseph. But then this generation after generation, decade after decade, and the same stuff. Nothing but tyranny, nothing but bondage, nothing but slavery. And how that would chip away at one's hope, and that would chip away at one's expectation that God may not be good. He might actually not be as good as our forefathers had assumed. And so what happens in the wilderness is this reorientation of God's goodness. And I think that's important for us. Right now, we're in the middle of uncertain times. At the time of this recording, things are being shaken. Things that we've kept for granted have slipped between our fingers. Perhaps relationships are strained, jobs have been taken away, finances are running thin. We're not certain about what leadership is going to look like locally and internationally and domestically. And so what we need to hear once again is that behind it all, no matter how this all shakes out and the puzzle pieces put together, that there's still a God who holds all things together. He holds us together and he holds our world together. And so my prayer today is that you and I would enter into a school of some sort, the school relearning God's provision, a reorienting of knowing that God is faithful and that God is with us. So let me pray a prayer of faith over all of our lives this morning as we face our day together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're a generous and faithful God. Lord, we thank you that you sought us, that because of the gift of grace, our sins have been separated from us as far as the east is from the west. God, we thank you that your word tells us to not be afraid. And you tell us that if we are in your grasp, that no one can take us from you. And so God, I pray for any of my brothers and sisters this morning that are overwhelmed by great uncertainty that goes on in our life, either personally, internally in our lives, whether it's in our family systems, our work systems, our school systems, in our relational networks, where there seems to be pieces moving all the time, and we wonder if there's ever going to be a stability again. And we thank you for this great truth that before there was anything, there you were, and you're going to bring all things to a beautiful and right conclusion because you're the righteous judge, and you ask us to be patient. And so God, whatever seems uncertain, whatever seems out of our reach or slipping through our fingers or way too big for us to try to rationalize, I pray that you come alongside of us and that your provision would be there. I thank you for the example of the people of Israel. They weren't perfect. They complained, but yet they still followed you. When you asked them to move forward, they did, even though they didn't have all the math figured out. And so God, I pray that we might find ourselves among them, the crowd of those wandering in the wilderness, trying to put the pieces together and try to relearn and reorient ourselves around a new vision of life. And so God, I pray for some of us who are new to the faith, or we're new-ish to wanting to apply our faith. And God, I pray that we would get a victory today, that we get a run on the board and a win. And I pray that we'd have a prayer answered, or that somebody encouraging would come alongside of us and would build us up today. God, for those of us who have a long history in the faith, I pray that we'd be stirred to pour into a life that's vulnerable around us, and that we'd find joy in it, being able to tell the stories of God and of your faithfulness, that it would bring a great comfort to another around us. So God, be with us today. Allow us to sense your presence and your nearness in all of our lives. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.